This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 81215. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Morning, boys.
Good morning. Very good. What was it called? Super bra. What was that?
Wonder bra. Super bra was the superhero character.
Super. Yeah, that would be like from the hood. Yeah, super bra. they didn't have those though. But now things have improved. Here's the thing. You know, it's been a strange time for us all. We've been dismissed. And all that from
Straight
the radio station.
But
I like the military sound, dismissed.
But spring is in the air. You know what I mean? It makes you think about new beginnings and that, about green shoots. And what raised me up higher than anything this week? It's series three of Is It Cake? It's back. Thank goodness. Suddenly life seems pretty good.
I noticed they got recommissioned.
Yeah, they did. And deservedly so. If they'd asked me to choose between us and them, I might have chose them.
Always go, Is It Cake? So what happens in... I mean, Series 3, it's the same premise. No big changes, I assume.
Well, there's one or two slight modifications. But there was a woman this week. She made carrots, sprouts out of cake. They really look like carrots and sprouts, but they tasted like cake. And I remember thinking, why didn't God think of that?
Yeah.
People would really, there would be no kids saying, I know what my sprouts, if it was cake. I wish they'd bring it to England and say, wouldn't it be interesting if we had a really old bloke presenting it, because they like cake. Yeah, and then a nice step.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'd recommend it. It's on Netflix, and it's about making things out of cake so well that you can't tell they're cake. That's the premise.
Are there sort of guessers on the show, or is the guessing entirely in the mind of the viewer?
They have guests.
Okay.
Judges who aren't allowed too close to the cake, obviously, you know, but give people a chance.
Yeah.
But there might be, let's say, this week, for example, there was a big water pistol.
Oh, yeah.
And there's three big water pistols, or four big water pistols, and one of them is a cake. And you have to guess which one it is. That's how it works.
This is like a kid's version of the movie Saw.
But there's a lot of... I've never seen Saw.
You mustn't.
Is it S-O-R-E?
You will be after watching it.
Oh, no, I'm horrible.
That's the pensioner version.
Saw.
Why Saw?
One of the reasons...
Saw now.
I think
there's a lot of knives, though, in Is It Cake. I mean, massive knives. And I don't know if that'd be allowed over here.
I don't think it would work with British people guessing, because we're so pessimistic compared to the Americans. They'd say, is this cake? And we'd say, no.
Yeah.
Every time, no.
Oh, it I is. Don't know. Oh, okay. I think we've... everyone, you know, used to joke about the Americans being stupid. But I think we've caught them down, as it were, as opposed to catching them up.
No, we've joined them, haven't we?
Yeah, I think
we're all
we've joined
in the gutter
them
now.
I think there's a certain warm glow to stupidity.
From the street lamps, yeah. We're getting a street lamp glow.
Yeah, I did a fab thing last Saturday after the show. I walked into town with Emily Dean for a start off, and my child had my child with me, who is 11, in case you don't know, and my partner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we headed for a place that my son has wanted to go ever since it opened. And I'll explain this to you after this.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
This is still Frank Skinner. Yes, so we went to the Gibson Garage. And the Gibson Garage is a massive guitar shop. They're open just, I don't know, 7 or 8 weeks ago, something like that. And there were many Gibson guitars there.
I would hope so.
And my child plays guitar with some fervour.
Yeah.
And so I took him in, and man, he was, I think the phrase is in his element.
Yeah.
But I always think of those like horrible furry things you get in electric kettles. He wasn't in that. But I tell you what, he played a couple of guitars, obviously. There was a very helpful guy. If anyone goes, there's a guy called Sam who's one of the most helpful shop assistants I've ever worked with. He's probably called something grander than that, but I'm an old man, Commander. Anyway, he tried a flying V. He's been hankering for a flying V. Are you familiar with these guitars?
No.
It's V-shaped.
Okay.
It looks quite dynamic in that respect. And
surely Y-shaped. Surely they're mismarketing these.
I suppose it is. Oh, that's an interesting point. Flying Y.
Flying Y.
Is it quite...
More philosophical.
Yeah. Well, the body of it is a V.
Yes.
The painted bit.
Is it the sort of guitar that Slash would have?
Yes.
Your son can probably help
but
us
not
out.
Maybe all the time. I think I'm trying to remember if he played one when I saw him live. What surprised me is they first came out in 1958, the Flying V.
Really?
I thought they were a real like 70s thing, although I think Hendrix played one.
They're quite glam. They have a glam vibe to them.
But I was Albert King, who was a blues guitarist. And I don't know about you, I hate the blues. No. I tried jazz. Every now and again, I have a go at jazz. And I was having a shower and I thought, I'll put some jazz on. You never know, I might get into it. And I was in the shower, so you kind of trap. I could get out of the shower. The phone, you know, sometimes you're on Apple Music, it just cuts out.
Yeah.
And it cut out, and I said out loud, "Thank you, old friend," to my phone across the bathroom.
Because you were
trapped. I was hating it,
you
but I thought I'm not getting out. The phone door. He's not liking this.
Trapped in a sort of
it
wet
had your
cube
best
of
interests
jazz.
At heart. I know what you mean about jazz. Just makes me think of mean men in the '70s.
Oh,
I just don't like it very much.
Yeah. We all like different stuff, and that's one of the marvellous things about music. If you're a massive jazz fan, now surely you'll be listening to Jazz FM if that was the case.
Exactly.
Anyway, Albert King had a flying V called Lucy. And there used to be a bit of a tradition of people, especially blues men, calling their guitars by lady names.
I don't like that, Frank.
No?
I don't like it.
Do you remember people used to do it with cars?
It's a bit, she's a cruel mistress.
Did you have a name for a car, F.A.M.?
No, I did.
People did.
I know they did.
Yeah.
Did you?
It's from ships, isn't it? A ship is always female.
Yeah, but a ship isn't a Fiat Panda. Come on.
Yeah, when a ship has a big like masthead thing of a lady on the front, it all kind of makes sense. But apart from...
Surely if I go to Gibson Garage, I could get a guitar with a mermaid on the prow of the guitar. Someone must have some pirate-themed rock and roll.
You'd have to make it customised. I don't think you can just buy those. I tell you what, you remember you used to have a thing on this show, Whatever Happened To? Mm. I tell you what I haven't seen for a long time.
Whatever happened to this show?
Yeah, we can do that. But how are we going to do it if the show's done? But what happened is... Sorry, that's my new ringtone. Let me just get that.
Trying to G yourself up.
Yeah, sorry about that, guys. What was I talking about? Whatever happened to the eyelashes on ladies' cars? I haven't seen that for ages. Remember on their headlamps?
I do remember
that. I remember thinking I was on the motorway once and I could see them in my rearview mirror. And I thought the way I would have designed it is, why bother having indicators? The headlights could just wink. Yeah. If you were, like, literally the lash going up and down. But yeah, if anyone listening has got the old eyelashes on the headlights, I'd love to hear from them.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank 398 has got in touch. Could Frank mention some of the other shop assistants he's worked with, please?
Well, I don't always remember their names, but if they're very helpful. I do. Oh, yeah, I was talking about both playing a flying V. I tell you what, I didn't realise if you play one sitting down, never seen anyone play one sitting down before, it sits on the thigh like a clothes peg. It's kind of perfect, yeah. Very good. I tell you what it made me think as well, and Pierre will back me up on this. I, as you know, have got a terrible sense of direction. I mean, to the point of a psychologist who I met said you almost certainly didn't crawl when you were a baby because that's when you develop your sense of direction.
Wow.
I crawled quite a lot in the 80s, but it was too late then. So now that's what you told me. So I, on the stage, there's this pink tape all over the place, which is with arrows. Mm. Pointing where I go off stage and where I go on
stage. Does everybody have that?
No.
No.
Just
don't sound so belligerent. No.
Just Frank.
We have special, Omar has a special roll of pink tape that we take to every venue to ensure the arrows can be manifested.
Hang on. Can I just establish? You literally forget how to get off stage.
Yes. I once went off stage. I suppose
50-50, surely.
It's 50-50. Yeah. No,
but there are many curtains with many little gaps, and sometimes you're behind a speaker.
I once walked off stage, and I should have gone off stage right, and I went off stage left, and I pulled the curtain aside, and there was just a wall. And there's like 1,500 people in the theatre, and I couldn't come back out. I just stood facing the cold wall, just a slight lump in the curtain.
Like a dunce.
Until, well, they did, yeah, exactly. And waited till they all went. I just stood there with my... I remember the sort of wall cold against my cheek.
Like a character in a video game that's done their bit.
But I was thinking that if I ended with a song in which I played a flying V...
Yeah.
You know, you can get reverse flying V as well. So the V's pointing in the other direction.
Oh.
And Omar could hand me the guitar, which points me off stage in the right direction.
Right. So depending on the night.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. You cannot. I've never seen anyone use a flying V for visual abuse. I've never seen them do a V sign to the audience.
And like holding it up like a sort of...
Yeah. Never seen that. Never seen one used as a rod rest whilst angling.
Regarding my idea for a guitar with a sort of mermaid on the prow.
Oh, yeah.
Matt Davies says, the idea of a pirate guitar really struck a chord with me. It would be great to play
that. Was that a pun by him?
Let's hope so.
It would be great to play the high seas with.
Oh, very, very good.
Very nice,
yeah.
Matt Davies.
I'm gonna fret about that joke all day.
And have you seen Martin Gardner's correspondence, Pierre Novelli?
No. Where's that?
He says, I knew it. This is regarding the stage.
Mm.
I posted this to Pierre last night. Exit stage left / right. He's taken an overhead photo of the stage.
From Brighton.
Oh, and you can see the arrows.
Yeah, you can.
The arrow. And I'm going to describe it as a little bit humiliating.
Martin sent that to me and I thought, I don't know if I'm allowed to reveal the secrets
of
the trade.
I find that to humiliation is my spiritual food.
That's a great back tattoo you can get. Massive gothic letters.
People really worry about humiliation, but I wallow in it.
Do you know what? I love that, Frank. I think that deserves to go on Instagram as an inspirational quote.
Yeah, people let it stop them from doing all sorts of things.
Oh, someone with a cheek microphone and perfect teeth could yell that in America at a crowd.
A cheek microphone, or as the kids call it, a microphone. As I call it, a Madonna microphone. Yeah. So I think Kate Bush proceeded.
Well, the next gen will call it the Britney.
Will they?
Yeah, they call
they
it
won't
Britney.
Remember Britney.
Okay.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
That is a weird coincidence, by the way, that I was talking about those pink arrows and someone has sent in a photograph of the arrow and from above.
I would say in mitigation that once on this tour I have walked often on the right-hand side of the stage, say there'll be several potential exit holes.
Exactly.
Multiple curtains. And I went for the middle one instead of the far left one.
Yeah, you walk into equipment.
I walked into the desk where Omar was sitting.
Yeah.
And I was just sort of standing, looming over his desk for a bit.
They're helpful. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it can happen to anyone.
They're quite small, your arrows.
Yeah, well, I'm quite close to them. I'm about 5'10" away. They're a bit bigger for Pierre. He's higher up.
Omar does bigger ones, and then in the interval he comes and removes some of the excess tape. They're always to scale.
Love it.
I was in the Oxfam bookshop this week. I'm a big fan of the Oxfam bookshops. Mm-hmm. When we go on tour, I look them up in the town we're in to check them out.
There's always about four.
Yeah, well, not always, but on a good day.
Yeah.
But if you, you know, it's that thing about you're buying books, but also you're helping.
Mm-hmm.
So I was in my local one the other day, and I bought...
Normally when people say I was down the local, they don't mean Oxfam. Yeah,
I don't say I'm down the local. I was down the local watching fat men drink enormous glasses of beer. No, I wasn't.
And, why is it so big? Why are they so big, those beer glasses?
I still don't know.
Big
I don't know they drinks. Even carry them.
How can they drink them? A pint is a lot of liquid.
I'm surprised in the modern world they're not on wheels, those pint glasses, now that people can't carry a small attaché case without putting it on a trolley. Nevertheless, so I was buying, and it's called an Oxford Guide to Chaucer. I was buying, and the woman behind the counter said, £3. Well, that's a bargain, isn't it? You were a bit lucky with that, she said. She said, I'd have thought it was more than that. And I thought, hold it.
Yeah.
I didn't put the sticker on. Do you know what I mean?
I'm not the villain here.
No.
Yeah. I mean, she might as well have bit judgy that.
She might as well have said, you know, by the way, you're robbing Africa. You do know that.
Oh, I just have to call Africa and let them know not to expect as much this month.
Yeah, exactly. I mean,
being a millionaire as well.
No, but what was I being accused of?
Because greedy boy called Frank Skinner wanted the Oxford.
And bought the Oxford Guide to Chaucer.
Also, it's the idea that you're buying something horribly extravagant and decadent.
£3.
Oh.
10 bottles of vodka.
£3?
No,
she says. Yeah. £3. How dare you?
I mean, what is the going rate for Chaucer? 8, 12, 15.
What?
Yeah. Like
no, it's not that much.
If a waiter in the restaurant is sort of going, oh, dessert, is it?
I don't know, but you offered. I go in there. They've got a Chaucer in there. A Troilus and Cressida by Chaucer. It's £35. Whoa. Completely random. It'll be there forever. Forever. It'll be like, you know, when you read about poor lonely people who've been found conjoined to their mattress. It'll be like that.
That'll be me.
Yeah, it'll be like that, though. Occasionally, they're all £3, and occasionally there's a book that's £10 for no apparent reason at all. And I avoid those. Yes, I do. But, honestly, I've never been made to feel such a heel for buying the Oxford Guide to Chaucer.
Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio.
I was about to be picked up by Omar and Pierre yesterday to go off to Brighton. And this is our life on the road.
Very Joel Orton play.
It's quite a diverse mob bus. Sort of two foreigners looming as we kind of escort you to the car in your suit.
Do they bundle you into the van?
Anyway, I've told you about the fish man, haven't I, who delivers fish to our house. Have I told you about him?
No.
Who, whenever he rings the bell, says, I've got some nice fish for you.
Where do you live, Ballamore?
Very threatening sounding thing.
Oh, no, it's lovely. And the fish is great until... This week I tried a thing called Icelandic hot smoked cod roe.
Okay.
Now, I used to have cod roe. I used to get it in like supermarkets, sort of squidgy, pale thing. Have it on toast. Very, very nice.
So it's different to caviar, cod roe?
Yeah, caviar's black and very big eggs.
What colour's cod roe? Orange?
It's what colour? I'd say it's a very pale...
gold.
Grey pink.
Oh, dear.
But this one was not like that. This one, I couldn't believe it. It said on it, good for making tarama salata. I thought, you're trying to put me off eating this, yeah. aren't you? As it is. And it says, you can have it sliced very thinly. Mm. They might still have said, do not eat on the packaging. Everything was... Anyway, I started eating it for my lunch. Oh, my God. It was the saltiest, fishiest thing I've ever... I can't tell you. And afterwards, I thought like my body was rejecting it. Not like I was going to be sick, like I was going to... Like, you know that film Pods? Okay. Have you ever seen that? I felt like I was going to open up into, oh my goodness. I took a picture of it for our social media.
Hang on, Frank, how much of this roe did you eat?
I ate way too much of it.
Well, there you go. It's not the roe's fault.
I think this was roe for eight. And I just ate it. But I couldn't believe it.
You ate too much and you felt sick?
No, if I'd have ate a tiny slice, I would have still been talking about it now.
Did you have it on toast? How did you prepare it?
No, I microwaved some rice for 2 minutes.
This is a horrible meal.
It's the worst meal I've ever had in my life. Yeah. Honestly.
I thought you seemed distracted when you opened the door.
No.
I'm bearing in mind this was someone
I'd forgotten there were other people in the world when I was eating
Did
this
you do,
meal.
Is this the cod
I
road?
Thought it was like The Road by Cormac McCarthy. I was eating my own flesh.
Can we hear more?
Poor old Joe Biden's granddad, turns out this week was eaten by cannibals.
I know, it's awful.
I mean, keep that to yourself, Joe. That's one for the family parties, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm keen to know more about the worst meal you've ever had. So it was rice, white or brown?
White rice, and it's microwavable. You put it in for 2 minutes in the packet and it comes out. It comes out in like one lump.
Packet rice.
Lump of rice. And then I ate, I don't know what this thing was. It said hot, but you eat it cold. I didn't understand that.
Any butter, any seasoning?
No.
Pepper?
No.
Provence?
It didn't need seasoning.
No.
It was salt. It was post-salt.
But this is...
Imagine that salt was renamed Salt Light.
Yeah.
Yeah. This would be what salt was called.
This is the Ribena. You've done the Cod Roe equivalent of drinking neat Ribena.
Yes.
You were supposed to dilute it.
What are you going to say to the fish man now?
I'm going to say no more Cod Roe, thank you.
And then shut the door in his face.
I don't know why this week he didn't say, I've got some nasty fish for you. But the rest of it, I mean, it's great. The fish generally is great. But, oh, man, I can't even... I want to show you a picture. We'll put it on. It's a terrible... Just to look at it.
I don't want to see your salty roe.
It looks like it... Oh, anyway, I can't tell what it looks like. I'll tell you when we're off air. Put it this way. It didn't look like it was on the way in.
Oh.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 81215. Follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
I've just noticed we're in the lantern. I mean, I haven't just noticed that.
Yeah.
But we're in the lantern and there's all this posh new equipment here.
Yeah.
And I've noticed something, Frank. There's a lot of panels and buttons for us to push.
Yes.
And I've just noticed guest control. There's a big pink button and it says guest control. Now, if we'd have had that, we might have continued having the guests on. Every time they said something that wasn't funny...
Yeah, I don't think it's like... not like Graham Norton's red chair.
Do you think, it would be great if you could press guest control and there was a funniness, like a sort of volume meter.
It's like an AI thing that improves their
or interestingness.
Yeah.
They were allowed both. I gave them two options and some would take neither. And that's why they had to go.
They would say, I decline to choose.
Let me see, interesting, funny. No, I don't fancy either. Oh, well, then get out.
Frank, Clive in Sheffield has been in touch.
Oh, we're in Sheffield on Sunday night.
Sunday night.
Okay. Frank and friends, Perhaps the Oxfam assistant who described the £3 bargain of the Oxford Guide to Chaucer had been reading The Merchant's Tale.
Very good.
Lovely.
I mean, it's the volunteers, you know, God bless them in there. Yeah. But, so don't judge me.
It is quite rich, isn't it? Were you not tempted to say yes if only there was someone in this shop responsible for what things cost?
Yeah.
It's like you'd drawn the £3 sticker on yourself.
I thought there was a suggestion that I'd bought my own sticker.
Or that you transferred a £3 sticker say, a Peppa Pig anthology.
Yeah.
I do think there was
the Oxford
a suggestion.
Guide to Peppa.
I think there was a slight suggestion that, well, you should be giving it, offering to give a bit more.
Yeah, I think there was a mistake has been made. I don't think you should be taking advantage of it. That was the message.
As though you found, when you found the Oxford Guide to Chaucer for £3, you should have immediately gone, excuse me.
I think there's been a mistake.
Please. Just waving frantically in the aisle.
Somebody call the police.
Shut that door.
I mean, I could have easily gone up with Troilus and Cressida and said, excuse me, there's been a mistake. It says £35. What are you talking about?
Is it signed?
Yeah. If it was signed, I'd have bought it. Yeah.
Now that's a Netflix show I'd watch.
Is it signed?
Yeah.
Is it
signed?
Frank, you showed me a picture of your Codsro earlier.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. Are you reading my texts again? Yes.
What would you like to? I mean, what was my reaction? I don't think I've ever had such a strong reaction to any image in my life.
No.
I don't know if anyone listening remembers the movie Signs, but there's a bit where one of the characters sees an alien flash up on the screen of a CCTV and he recoils with such horror he propels himself into his own sort of wardrobe.
Oh, no.
And that was the level of horror that you displayed.
I'm still getting intrusive thoughts about it. It made me
That would have been a much better start to The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe if C.S. Lewis had come up with that.
Someone just lurching back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Although they were all right with Timness. Was it called Tumness?
Mr. Tumness.
Yeah, if you can cope with that, you can cope with an alien on CCTV. But whether you could cope with the
Very large hips, Mr. Tumness.
Yes.
Huge hips.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know if we can say that anymore.
Why?
It was all a bit menage with Mr. Tumness.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
Frank, the people have spoken.
Oh, yeah. It's a bit early.
They are demanding to see your Codsro.
Yeah.
Well, it should be.
Ruth Jordan, we need to see the picture of the Codsro. This is the Tipton Slashers monkey all over again. Show us both pictures.
I've given it to Jenny Foote to put on, but she's gone out for coffee.
Don't bring Foote into it.
Okay.
What's the worst they can do? Sack you? Then we have Chris Armstrong. Would just like to make you aware that there is a horse running at 3:35 p.m. today named Gitmaker.
Oh.
Thought that. I don't know why. Just thought that might appeal.
I haven't had a bet for a long time.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll start doing
that. Did the fun
now.
Stop?
Saturday mornings. Yeah. Saturday mornings, I'll get up and just look at the racing paper.
That sounds like a lovely, healthy life choice.
Exactly. My dad had a bet every weekday and Saturday without fail.
Really?
And he would have like 10 five-penny doubles and 10 five-penny trebles. I remember once he won 14 quid and it was like the biggest thing that had happened to us. Different times.
We have some other updates from Graham Tubbs regarding Roe. The little grey-brown pieces of roe that Frank liked to fry and eat on toast are herring roes.
Oh.
Cod roe is sometimes found on fish and chips menus.
Is it? And no, but I love that cod roe on fish and chip menus,
okay,
but
Graham
it was
Tubbs
nothing like this.
Graham Tubbs isn't quite done.
Sorry, Tubbsy.
I don't know if you're on those terms yet.
If we was on Five Live, that's what I'd be calling it. Over to Tubbsy.
Cod roe is sometimes found on fish and chips menus and, as he now knows, is quite different. Your witness.
Yes, but I love the cod roe on fish and chip menus. I've been eating that my whole life and it comes in like big Like, imagine a very large pound coin.
Really?
Battered. It's that kind of dimension. But this didn't look anything like that.
Iceland, the Icelanders have been salting and smoking it down into a compressed paste. This,
I love that. That would be my first. I'd choose that before a, like, you know,
you ate
card.
You ate a tube of salt. In a big, lovely bowl of salt.
I just couldn't.
Whatever that thing is, you showed me.
If Erling Haaland had been there, he might have liked it. Looked like the sort of thing he might eat.
Andy Wood has sent in a sort of a Chaucerian poem for us about your experience in Oxfam, in the Oxfam bookshop.
Oh,
go
wow.
For it.
The old comedic fellow entered Oxfam for a look. He robbed yon poor Afrikaans with an underpriced Jeffrey book.
Very fine.
I really like yon poor Afrikaans. That's a sort of phrase you might find in Chaucer.
I'm starting to actually feel bad about it now. So I paid £3 for the Oxford Guide to Chaucer. Like, that makes me a bad person.
Well, it's an unspeakable sin in the eyes of the Oxfam bookshop.
Oh, man, that woman, if ever a man was hung, drawn and quartered visually, that was it.
Did Kath have the cod's row, Frank? I'm sorry.
Oh,
no,
God.
I'm a bit
I tried to get Pierre. I said to Pierre,
Frank tried
up.
To trap I me said, into having
I
some.
Just didn't. That is so cruel.
I think, but wouldn't this have been a better feature if you tried it as well?
And if I'd felt as sick as you did for the ensuing 2 hours.
Because people think, oh, he's probably right. He's such a wimp, Skinner. Whereas if. If Mr. January from the Firefighters calendar tried it, then people would think truly it was a salty fish. That would be the last line of the film. Like, it was beauty. Beauty killed the beast. It was salt killed the comedian.
What, like a Citizen Kane, and as you drop it, you Godro.
We'll put the picture up. Brace yourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We're getting a lot of feedback regarding the cold row.
I tell you, go on.
If only there'd been some sort of visual clue that it might not be delicious. That's from Ruth.
That's very good.
I mean, she's right. It is extraordinarily horrid.
I didn't expect it to look. Bear in mind that the picture we've put up. I broke it into two halves, so I ate almost all of that amount of the other half. Yeah, so that half is untouched. That's how it looks in the wild.
Arson Hugh, oh my!
Oh, it looks like some mad
Frank
kidneys.
Frank wasn't exaggerating.
Oh my! I believe that was Morris's response to someone dying in his gang. First in the gang to die. Oh, my.
Third frame looks like evidence.
Hold on, who witnessed this death? Bertie Wooster.
Oh, my. George Takei.
Sorry.
Third frame looks like evidence from a murder trial.
Yes.
They just keep coming. I mean, it is...
You should check it out. It's
I've just Google image searched what it looked like before you broke it in half, and it looks like the after picture in Warnings About Smoking, where they show lungs.
Yeah, I think I've got...
Go, good lungs, bad lungs.
I think I've got a picture of the complete thing, because Kath sent it to me, because I said, could you fry a bit of cod roe up for me for when I get in?
All right, the and Sultan.
And she said... apparently, it's ready to eat with a picture of it. And I thought, doesn't look ready to eat, does it?
I mean, if you were a wild animal or a zoo animal.
Hang on, maybe this is where we got it wrong. Was it just not cooked?
You're not supposed to cook it. No, it says that.
It's smoked.
It's smoked so much, it's sort of been cooked by smoke.
Okay.
Okay. Cooked by smoke.
I'd love to see the Guardian.
Salt. It's one of my reviews.
What will you say when the fishmonger says, Frank, how is... I'll be the fucking fishmonger. Morning, Frank.
No, he never does that. See, I just answer the door. Got some nice fish for you.
This is very creepy. You've never seen this person?
It sounds like you're talking about a ghost when you describe him. I've never seen him. I just hear him.
Got some nice fish for you.
Got some nice fish for you, buddy.
And that will be the end line when your body's found. Got some nice fish for you.
Well, I work upstairs, I see. I work on the top deck. Mm. And Kath works downstairs.
He's getting very fish-based. He's nautical. Top deck.
Fire the top deck.
You're not actually a Captain Birdseye.
And so... I answer the door in case it's an intruder.
Right.
And if it's a fat friend rather than foe.
A hulking great type like you would see them all.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I've got, you know, an old armory of weaponry. But if it's friend, then she actually lets them in. So I've never actually seen the fish man.
Does Kat seen the fish man?
Oh, God, Kat's. Yeah, Kat's seen the fish man.
You ate some smoked roe from an unknown fishman.
Well, unknown to me.
Yeah. How do we know it's a fishman? It could be David Baddiel trying to make a few extra bombs.
Some sort of prank, do you think? Something he found on Hampstead Heath that he sold to me.
You'll never believe Frank's fallen for it again.
Frank Skinner.
Frank Skinner.
Absolute Radio.
Frank, I would like to return to some of our prior correspondents on this show. They contact us throughout the week, our loyal readers.
I love that.
We've heard from, for example, Jamesy from Leeds.
Okay.
Jamesy got in touch. Do you remember we were talking about Harry Styles' followers and how we didn't think, unlike the Swifties, they'd come up with... They hadn't nailed the name.
Well, I like Belieber. I think he's clever for Justin Bieber. But the Harry Styles followers...
You liked it so much, you started to call him Justin Belieber.
Did I?
Yes. You said Belieber.
What are Styles fans called again?
Harry's.
Yeah, not good enough.
And it just was not adequate. So,
Harry's.
Jamesy from Leeds.
What a meeting that was.
Mm.
I know, come on, these people. Jamesy from Leeds says, hi, everyone. Oh, okay. Very sad. This is a bit awkward, but, you know, I'm going to share it.
Yeah.
Very sad that Frank has been fired.
Okay.
Thank you.
I quite like Jamesy. So I thought I'd best try and get a mention on the show before it's too late.
Yeah. It's practical.
Yeah.
I like Jamesy. Jamesy continues. You were discussing the collective noun for followers of Harry Styles recently. Mm. And I thought that with Frank being such a devout follower of the Nazarene, then what about this, guys? Apostyles.
Apostyles.
I mean, it's a little bit unwieldy, but, you know.
Yeah, it's got an element of pustules about it, so.
Maybe appropriate.
It's a good try.
Okay.
I think, as Roy Slow Talker Walker used to say on Catchphrase, it's good, but it's not right.
It doesn't trip off the tongue.
But, good on him for...
Okay.
Yeah.
He had a go. And you know what? He got his mention on the show before... Frank was fired.
Before the curtain closes.
Very practical.
Do you think on the last day Absolute will put pink arrows all the way out down the stairs to the job centre?
All the way to a big skip.
Yeah, exactly.
Or climb
where
in
I shall reside.
Climb in and go to sleep.
We've heard from also Hog83.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
It's a coffee shop.
I don't know. Sounds like maybe they'd be a fan of Cod's Row.
Wasn't there a coffee called something like Cafe Hog?
Yes, there was, Frank.
Yeah.
There was.
Hog 83 would definitely. He's the only because you didn't eat it right. I'm very offended
Hog
about the Cod's Row.
Sounds like he might have just signed for Chelsea. Is that my favourite mythological creature?
Good. I like it so far.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is the Lambton worm. Partly because, well, it's a worm, and partly because I can just about see its residence of choice, Penshaw Monument, from my house. An easy view, then, should Mr. Worm return. Now, I have no idea. I love the sound of this, but I have no idea what any of it refers to.
Well, the Lambton Worm was a large creature, some sort of like a bit Loch Ness Monstery, which was from the northeast of England. I know of it because my dad used to, it was from County Durham, used to sing northeastern songs to me when I was a child.
I don't know those.
And it begins with Forgive the accent, but well, gather on now, and I'll tell you a story about the worm. And then it used to be about
northeast of Jamaica, the lambs.
And oh God, he's done that thing.
He's done that thing. Yeah,
that,
you've done it. Yeah. Oh, you've done the thing we don't allow.
Oh, how terrible! You've done that thing. What was he Welsh? yes, I did apologise for the accent in advance. So then there's a song about the worm that terrorised the local area of Lambton.
Song about the worm?
Yeah.
What did it say? What, there was a worm? And what did he do?
He terrorised the local area.
Did he do anything else?
No, that was
How
that's
did
an
he
offer of worm. It's a worm. What do you think he did? I opened a small second-hand bookshop.
And charged 35 quid. Yeah. How, can I ask, how could a worm terrorise? Yeah.
Because
on.
It's a big, giant
All right, calm
thing.
Down now.
It's like a massive Loch Ness Monster worm.
Oh. Has anyone ever seen a picture of the Lambton worm?
Well, I don't think it was a possibility that it didn't exist, right?
Oh, God.
It's very controversial.
But, I don't know if there's the surgeon's photograph of the Lambton worm as there is with...
Lockie. Nessie, was it called Nessie?
Loch Ness, yeah. Mm. Although it turned out that the surgeon was actually a gynaecologist, but they couldn't put that in the paper because they thought people would be appalled such a person existed. And who trusts one of those, I think, was the thing. Yeah, it's true.
Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner. Absolute Radio. Absolute Radio.
Go on.
351. I will miss Frank. I'm from the Black Country and know all about Cod Row.
Yeah, but it's not that. Don't think it's that thing from the chip shop. It isn't like that.
Really?
No. People who look at the picture I posted will think it's the Lambton worm.
Yeah, so as Rawley
and we
said,
wonder why our show's not coming back.
Yeah, as Rawley.
The Lambton worm. I still haven't seen the Lambton worm. And you know what? I want to keep it like
that.
I
don't know if you'll see.
Yeah, but Frank, what do you... But you can't see it, but you can still believe in its existence what I mean.
Certainly.
Okay.
Like me and mermaids.
Yes. Your optimism that one day...
I don't know if I'd be terrified if I saw an actual mermaid. But
what if one got dredged up by a sort of Indonesian trawler or something?
What if you got a Cod's Row mermaid? Oh, no.
Anyway...
Well, regarding the Cod's Row, the picture of which is on Twitter, Rawley has said, it looks like the shin bone of a man frozen during the last ice age.
Yeah.
There is a...
Yeah, Seamus Ian is going to write a poem about it.
It reminds me of when I was on a plane once and I ordered shank, and I didn't really know what shank was.
Okay.
Well, that sounds nice. Most disgusting. I thought someone had put a foot on my plate.
Oh, I've had a lovely lamb. Sometimes they fall off the bone. They're so tender.
It was... I thought, why is a foot on my plate? I couldn't get purchase. I didn't know what to do with it. It felt like a British Museum exhibit.
Were you not tempted to just Henry VIII it and just grab the leg bone and have at it there on the plate?
I didn't like it at all, Frank. I've never had a shank since then. Frank,
what time is it? Yeah, no. Oh well, that's something. Come on, PS, say something.
We've had an email about the Lambton Worm film.
Oh, I didn't know there was such a thing.
No.
Is it an old black and white whiskey galore type thing?
No, and it's, in fact, it's something you should know about because it stars a former Doctor of the Who variety.
Oh.
Which one?
Good morning, Frank and team. Your chat about said worm.
Yeah.
Me lad. Reminded me of a formative film watching experience of the Ken Russell movie, The Lair of the White Worm.
Oh, Hugh Grant's in that.
Yes, I've seen that film.
Isn't Hugh Grant in that?
Or Liz Hurley?
Based in part of the legend, it starred Amanda Donahoe.
Yes.
Hugh Grant, and indeed Peter Capaldi.
Did he? Yeah. I've seen that. I had made no connection to the Lambton Worm at all.
Yeah.
But Ken Russell, they took a bit of following his films.
Oh, were they obscure?
They were, avant-garde is what they were.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
But we mainly went for the nudity, I'll be honest with you, in those days.
Oh, charming.
But that's how we got into art, you see. It's all about having a sort of...
gateway.
What they call that? Yeah, gateway drug.
Mm.
Yeah. There you go.
Charming.
So you could sort of alternate Chaucery and academic insight between nudie postcards.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you wandering around, rubbing your hands with glee, looking at the Manet, Dejeuner, Salut? Yeah. Oh, it's great one here, mate.
It's,
come on, have a look.
It's the whole concept of the loss leader. Just get them into the shop.
Just
with anything.
For Rubenesque.
Just get him into the Louvre. Frank Skinner.
This is Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio with Emily Dean and Pierre Novelli. You can text the show on 8 12 15. You can follow us on X and Instagram at Frank on the Radio. Email via frank@absoluteradio.co.uk.
Okay.
The other day, Frank, we were letting the great British public have their say on your shoes, your Bruegel sort of Dutch peasant shoes.
Oh, yes. Well, it came, didn't it, from Rishi Sunak Sambas.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Sunak was trying to destroy something fashionable, and you were worried that your shoes were too wide at the tips.
I've never felt comfortable in them. I feel like people might be pointing as I go past.
And muttering.
Yeah. Did you see his shoes? They look like Weetabix.
They look like the shoes in... Man Milling Grain, 1597.
Yeah, exactly. They don't look about that. It's just not a bad look.
Well,
don't get me wrong.
And apologies if anyone can hear drilling.
I couldn't look a real strange homie.
Yeah.
I think they're doing all the work. When they like to plan it when we do our show. Yes.
I think they're still building our gallows.
I think you'll find we like things ship-shape here at the Lantern.
Oh, don't mention that. I like the Lantern. I find it all modern, clean, and yeah. I'm just going to get used to it. I'll just find the toilet. And then I'll have to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not to the toilet.
Well, regarding
shoes.
Oh yeah.
There's a new collab. Do you like collabs?
Oh, new collab just dropped.
Well, I'm always amazed that collabs happen.
Yeah.
Because I've longed for a collab for years, but I just wouldn't ask anyone because I can't cope with the rejection.
What about Cosro? You've done work for them.
No. I mean...
Frank Skinner's finally collaborating with Reykjavik Codro.
Imagine
to bring
if he
a new
sailed
flavor.
Out and did a Codro campaign.
Tacky's Codro.
What I always think of is the doubles at Wimbledon.
Oh, yeah.
Actually approaching a major tennis player and saying, do you fancy being my doubles partner? Them going, no.
horror. You did have that before with Alan Bennett.
Yes, when I wrote to Alan Bennett saying, let's write a play together.
He did. What did he say, Frank?
He said, I generally write on my own nowadays. He said, of course, I know who you are, but no.
You know what? I quite like that.
Yeah, fair enough.
No, it's a longer letter. It's a nice letter, actually.
Oh, good.
Okay. Yeah.
But what was I thinking? I wrote to Alan Bennett and said, shall we write a play together? Must have been out of my mind.
Don't ask, don't get.
Yeah. Well, do ask, don't get.
Well, this collab should excite you because you're a fan of Crocs.
I am. I think they're much maligned.
Yeah. They're the underdog of the shoe world, and you champion them.
I just think people thought they were great. They thought it was like the Russian Revolution. You know, it was fabulous. And suddenly they got naff, and I have no idea why. Someone decided.
Yeah. Chefs.
But chefs wear them with gusto. Actually, usually with check trousers.
Always and, with the check trouser.
The old double-breasted tunic.
Why does chefs still wear the check trouser?
A sort of Napoleonic uniform.
They haven't updated their look, chefs. And I love that for them. I love the double breast with a flap. Yes. They love a flap.
Well, they have that extra padding on the elbow so they can lean on the bin while they're smoking outside the restaurant.
Oh, yeah, they've got like the Alsatian dog display.
Yeah, they're always out there having a fag, though. Yeah. They might as well smoke some cod roe while they're at it.
Anyway.
So, Crocs have finally collaborated with Pringles.
Oh, yeah. I mean, That is two
like
of
Pringles?
Your favourite things.
Do you like Pringles?
It's like with that film Cowboys and Aliens, and I thought, I cannot believe this is happening.
Come to Daddy.
So brilliant.
Do you like Finally. Pringles, Frank?
Oh, yes. I okay. really like them.
Calm down, dear. What's yeah. your favourite flavour?
I like the old traditional, but I like cream, cheese and chive.
Oh,
I know.
Sour cream.
Yeah, that thing. Yeah. The only one I don't like, and I don't like this in anything, is barbecue. Why does that exist?
I agree.
Oh, I like a BBQ.
Oh, no.
Why not?
I like a barbecue. Cream. But if I see, like, you know, hula hoops, barbecue, oh, no, it's all right. Oh, I'm all right.
What? Hang on, do you not like a frazzle? I love a frazzle.
No, it's bacon.
I don't like a frazzle either. I don't like that branch of snack world called barbecue. I just don't like it.
Okay, all right.
Have we got that?
Yes.
Don't ask me again.
Okay.
Frank Skinner on Absolute Radio.
We were talking, Frank, about the Pringle collab with Crocs.
Yes.
Which has just dropped. And they've joined forces essentially to create footwear.
Yes.
So we have the...
One of them is very on Croc-like. One of them is a sort of high top.
It's the crush boot, I believe it's called.
But I wouldn't have recognised that as coming from the Croc family.
I would describe it as more of an astronaut's, goddamn astronaut boot.
Yeah.
It still has a sort of crocky toe, doesn't it?
Has a crocky toe, but Croc do those boots. Buy a Croc crush boot.
I wasn't aware that they'd branched up the calf.
And you're very across their output normally.
Well...
I've seen at least four lined up in your hallway,
Each of the family has got them. Of course, I had that traumatic moment when I took Boz to Cobb's shoe shop in Hampstead. And the woman measured him on one of those Clark's width things. She said, oh, I'm ever so sorry. I'm afraid you're between Crocs. Too big for one and too small for the after white. You have to wear terrible.
Purgatory.
Yeah, what size is Buzz now? Just thinking we could do some...
I think he's about 4.5.
Bigger than me. Lovely.
Is he really? Yeah. Wow.
I'm a 3. Gosh. Okay.
Anyway, we should say these Croc boots have what I would call Pringle holsters.
Yes.
On the side. Where you put your small, you know, the small stout Pringle tube, the travel Pringle.
Rip-off, absolute rip-off.
Grab and go.
We'll get back to that.
Mm. Absolute rip-off.
Oh, yeah, don't you think?
Oh, sorry, I thought that was our new channel. No.
It will be. Yeah, you only get about 10 Pringles in it.
Well, with your shoe size, you'd get about one Pringle in these holsters.
Well, what I've noticed about the Croc Pringle collab crush boot.
Yes.
Is what a sentence.
On the heel.
Yes.
Have you noticed this? There is a bit of detail which I was all over. Three Pringle shaped. Have you seen it? It's sort of jutting out the back, like on the back of a car when you get those go faster things, when you get those fins.
Yeah, those things that dangle down onto the ground to stop people getting travel sick. Do you remember those things?
It's a jutting out fin from the back of the boot, and it is three Pringles.
Oh, God, like fungi on a log.
Exactly what it is.
It reminded me of the way the Pringles are tucked in. They used to be, I don't know if this fashion still exists, but men in T-shirts used to put a cigarette packet and matchbox in the sleeve of the T-shirt.
In a sort of rolled way that kept it secure.
Yes.
It was very Marlboro Man, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, you needed big biceps because you had to be like pushing. You had to be sort of snug into the sleeve just so there's enough room.
Well, I know, but that's why you did the Mr. Universe
I could carry a family-sized pack of shredded wheat. in the sleeve of my T-shirt, and it'd still be room.
But also, they must have had quite long T-shirt sleeves, like down to the elbow more than halfway down.
No, they sat high.
Can I tell you what I loved? There was one thing I particularly loved about the blurb for the Pringles collab. Mm. which was, it said of the Pringles pouch, this allows both fashionistas and snackers to carry the crisps on their favourite shoes. And I love their acknowledgement that those two groups are mutually exclusive. Yes. Yeah.
There was
those
some
who
very
eat
good,
and those who like fashion.
There were some very good quotes. I don't often enjoy a press release, but they really did go for it.
Yeah.
More of that to come. Frank Skinner. Absolute
Radio. We've had a few visitors, Frank.
Yes. My partner, Kath, is here. My son, Boz, and my dog, the dog, is here. No, Poppy is here. Oh, she looked round when I said that. Yeah, they're coming to have one last look. Well, bear in mind, Boz is nearly 12. His entire life I've been doing this radio show.
That's true, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I announced his birth on this very show.
Yeah.
So, you know, 42% potato.
I beg your pardon?
Pringles.
I am.
They avoid some sort of tax thing, if I remember rightly,
right,
because there's an extra tax on potato-based snacks.
They're not crisps.
Yeah, so they kept their potato content down to 42%, which means they don't have to pay.
We all do our best to keep our potato content down.
Yeah, exactly.
But not for financial reasons.
I'm not doing great at the moment.
These boots, the Pringle Croc collab.
Yeah.
They said they were
Pringle Croc collab. Ooh, Pringle Croc collab. Ooh, might leave you with a scab.
Extraordinary.
You'll have to jump a cab. Ooh. So
the Pringle Croc collab, they were saying they're already a huge hit with celebrities. Okay.
Are they?
Well, then they showed a picture, celebrities such as Chris Olsen. Have you heard of Chris Olsen?
No.
Well,
I haven't
either.
Heard of anyone. Is it a man or a lady?
It's a man.
Okay.
But I like the way that I did your accent then as well. I don't know why, out of sympathy.
Who weren't there some sisters called
The Olsen twins? But this isn't them, Frank. This
not
is.
Them,
I Googled this man. The only thing I could find on record about this character, he was voted TikTok sexiest man by People magazine in 2020.
Oh, well, respect to Mondo. Yeah.
And he's famous for his coffee delivering videos.
Oh, good.
His man, but this.
He's, what is he, a barista?
Coffee delivery.
Some kind of a barista.
Yeah.
I've got some nice coffee for you.
Do you know what? I don't want to ever see the videos. I like imagining what they're like.
I wonder, what does he deliver them to, celebrities or something?
It just said his famed coffee delivering videos.
Okay.
Perhaps he delivers them in a sort of athletic or surprising way.
Anyway,
through the window.
He wore the boots and he really likes them. And says, hey guys, check out my new Pringle Crocs. I'm not suggesting he was paid.
No, no.
But, you know.
If you're suggesting a man who's only famous for doing stupid things on TikTok could be paid to wear silly shoes. Well, how dare you,
the thing about the cigarettes in the sleeve, when I was growing up, women sort of moms and beyond into grands never went out.
Women, mums and beyond.
Yeah.
I love that show.
That's that magazine full of
all the candles for
that. That was no, it's actually a magazine I used to read when I was a teenager.
Oh, you are disgusting.
But anyway, they always had a handkerchief up the cardigan sleeve. Do you remember that? They used to have that little lump.
They had a Murray Mint and a hanky.
Did they have a Murray Mint?
Now, don't you remember that Murray Mint in a Nana's pocket?
No, I don't.
Always fine.
What about novel ways of carrying? There's the there's the pencil behind the ear.
Yes.
I really miss that.
Yeah, what are other novel ways? We've had cigarettes up the sleeve. Let's have 8, 12, 15 novel ways of carrying.
Knife in the boot.
Yeah, the dirk. Mm. We get lots of Scottish ones saying, what about the dirk? But just put the light on.
You were talking earlier about unconventional places for carrying items.
Well, just ways of carrying things. Pencil behind the ear, cigarette packing up the T-shirt sleeve.
Okay.
Don't tell me that a drugs mule has texted him. I don't know if we can read this one out.
Tying the shoes over the telegram. 482, dinner money in your shoe.
Oh, in your shoe?
Yeah. No, it is a poem as well.
When we moved to the Isle of Man from South Africa, we were introduced to the concept of dinner money.
Right.
And the local primary school said to my parents, your kids will need dinner money tins. And my parents said, and what is that?
Yeah.
I said, it's like a tiny sort of biscuit tin for your dinner money. And they went, right, where do we buy tiny tins? Like for sewing kits.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, all the news agents and stuff nearby will have dinner money tins. And my parents thought, I don't think they will. And they walked into a shop, incredibly South African, on the other end, went, we've been told to come here and ask for a dinner money tin. And the guy went, yeah, and just really a whole tray of them from under the counter. Which one would you like?
I was
these
in
little rattly tins.
I was in Mississippi once, and I went into a sort of a corner shop, and they had 13 different types of chewing tobacco. I mean, wow! Look, my partner has arrived with the other half of the cod row.
Ugh.
And I'm trying to persuade Emily and Pierre. Pierre's being Pierre, who I think of as my Mr. January, will take on any challenge.
No, he's being a little bit like, well, I don't want to possibly have that. I might come over all peculiar.
You didn't see Frank when he answered the door.
Really?
It was like one of those sky mummies they find in Peru.
Do you think we're going to be
dehydrated?
Really? Why does he want us to feel like he felt?
No, because I ate a massive, massive amount of it.
Why should we suffer?
Do you know
you should be thinking, oh, I'm so glad my dear friends were spared the Cod's Row incident.
Do you
want us to suffer?
Do you know when American cops find powder in a bag and they just put lick their finger?
Or with a little a flick knife.
But often they'll just lick their...
PCC.
Is it coke?
Actually,
so it won't hurt you.
I would watch that.
I think most shows on streamers are that. Is it coke in a way? Plenty of shows.
Frank, bring on the Cod's Row. Come
okay,
on,
okay, that's
do it.
The spirit. Right. Come on, all Jenny, right. Have you got the Cod's Row?
Bring on the Cod's Row.
Meanwhile, can I read you something from the
Frank, so what
Bible?
I like is, as soon as the Cod's Row, your dog started prowling in a very menacing way.
Yeah.
She knew the road was on its way.
It's like a barracuda is surrounding the island.
Come on then, what were you going to read us? Read us your little
No, I'll
note.
Read this. I'm just talking about, as well as the croc boot, I point out there is another more croc-like croc. Jenny Foot, by the way, so I just give them small bits or they're just going to...
Oh my God, what's that smell? Is that the smell?
What do you mean, what's that smell? There's a woman cutting cod row over there.
How quickly the worm turns, Emily Dean. So keen.
Yeah, that's what they say in Lambton. doesn't turn that quickly.
No.
Shall we take a break and then... Do you want to... You should eat it on air rather than in the room. I just don't want you to lose your nerve. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
You know what I'm talking about?
Frank Skinner.
Before we go into this, 742, as we go to the break before the cod row eating, it feels like Frank has decided to end the show by killing the team off on air. It's like a World War II spy drama where they all take a cyanide pill together. Goodbye, all. You'll all be buried at the lantern with the highest honours.
Oh, I don't want to die. Bury my heart at the lantern.
And their names are on the wall of honour in the atrium of the lantern to this very day.
We're getting a lot of its very final days of World War II.
Yeah, come on, guys, get it down.
Are we going over the top, sir?
Yes. And okay. I'll have a bit more as well.
Okay.
My body has got used to it now.
All right. Oh my God, the smell of it.
I'm
going to
have
God.
The most minute.
Oh, there goes fragment. My microphone. Don't be... what?
Can you pass me some? Okay, I'm going in, guys. I'm going in. It's really making me ill. Frank's... son, Buzz, is going to... We decided to do this together in a... Come on, Buzz, let's do it. One, two, three. Ah! Oh, my God.
It tastes like low tide smells.
Oh, my God.
They should use that on the packaging. I wish you could see the faces.
Oh, my God.
Can you take a...
Oh, Frank, what have you done to us? Ross? No. What have you done?
Very old tuna. Very old.
And that's it. I said I'm not. I will not walk out of here alive. All together now.
It ends on my terms.
All together. Appreciate it. Oh, the dog is the dog's refusing it. No, no, she's eating it. No, she's dead too. I don't know if this is great radio, to be honest. But who cares at this stage?
Yes, it takes.
No, I care. That's not true.
I can see
one of the worst sort of taste bud moments I've ever had in my entire life.
You've lived.
The level of salt. I can see why when you open the door.
Frank, the dog has rejected it, just FYI. Mm,
yeah. No, okay. The dog won't eat
animals
it.
And the dog smarter. Was trying to eat my mascara earlier, so that gives you an insight into how disgusting it is.
Or how little salt is in your mascara.
Yeah.
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 The salt has just hit me now.
Yeah, there's an aftertaste of the salt.
Oh, well, there's an aftertaste.
Having said that, I wouldn't mind a bit more.
Oh, my God.
Can I have a bit more, please, Jenny?
Yeah.
This, as I say, this is not really radio, is it? This is Saturday Morning Kitchen.
I don't know. I don't think they would allow this sort of thing on Saturday Morning Kitchen.
Do you know what, Frank?
Not for the hungover.
What? You want a bit more as well.
I quite like it now.
There you go, you see.
I think the salt has really turned me. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I've lost most of the water content of my body.
I've never been so let down.
Why
by an
do you think he's been wimped? Why?
You should see the tiny, tiny, like three eggs. Yeah. Can't believe it. It's something. Are you still paying attention?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
Okay.
Okay. Should we go back to Pringles?
Yeah. I like all the rules out the window.
The Pringle Julius clocks that look most like Pringles.
Yeah.
The strap, you know, the strap on a Pringle is the moustache.
Strap on a croc.
The Pringle doesn't have a strap.
Sorry, strap on a croc is Mr. Pringle's moustache.
Pringle, yeah.
Now, I always have the strap on a croc at the back as a way of keeping the croc on.
Yeah.
I don't think it should be worn at the front, which is what they're suggesting.
Well,
I'm afraid Hair Pringle disagrees.
I know, but Hair Pringle.
You call him Hair Pringle, but where is his hair? Because Julius Pringles did have a sort of Victorian strongman parting, I distinctly remember.
Yeah.
And then overnight, he was bald.
Yep. Is that right?
He's old now.
Why have they made it? Really?
Julius Pringle has lost his hair.
I've known some hairy people in my life. Have I ever known anyone hairy enough to have an ankle moustache? Which is what, if I wore my Pringle, my croc strap in the normal position, that's what I would have.
Stop saying croc strap.
Sorry.
It's making me feel a bit ill.
It's very fine.
Dogs here and family members. Sickening.
Oh, my moustache themed croc strap. Is it the end of the show? Oh, yeah. God, I'm sorry it's ended so badly, everyone.
With moustache-themed croc strap.
Yes, and people eating stuff that you can't see. Yes, it's all slightly gone down the plug hole.
Mm.
Yes, we're me and Pierre are in Stoke tonight, live in Stoke-on-Trent.
Robbie Williams' hometown?
Yeah.
I think he's one of the five towns.
I think he's Stoke.
Is he? Okay.
I think so.
So, look, thank you for listening this morning. I'm sorry I've poisoned everyone, but you know what I mean. It's the last days of Rome.
Yeah.
And if the good Lord spares us and the creeks don't rise, we'll be back again this time next week. Now get out.
This is Frank Skinner. This is Absolute Radio.